Let us sing now to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 84. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me. The tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. Psalm 84, and the opening verses 1 to 6, we sing to God's glory. Now let us join together in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we pray again that the words of the psalm that we have been singing would be the true desire and experience of our hearts, and that the desire would be to be in God's house and to sing God's praises, knowing that this is pleasant and good, pleasing to God, good for us. And always we find in the scriptures that God's people have this instinctive longing to enjoy God, to enjoy praising, to enjoy serving, to enjoy being submissive to God, to enjoy knowing the security that God promises to all his people, that they shall never perish, that they have eternal life, not simply as something that is a future prospect, but a present possession. Even now, deliverance from sin, has come to all who believe and trust in Christ. And this morning we marvel again, O God, at so great a truth, so momentous an experience. It is beyond our comprehension. It is beyond our deserving. It is even beyond our desiring, because we cannot desire fully in our present condition. We cannot desire fully the great things that God has provided and promised. And so, as we come this morning again around the Holy Scriptures, we pray that we would be further enlightened and enlivened and further motivated to serve in the gospel. We confess, O God, that we are easily deviated, that the concerns of this present time, sometimes very lawful concerns, but they do detract at times from our seeking first the kingdom, and they do sometimes interrupt and intervene between us and the kingdom. And so often, O God, the things of this world are preferred as our priorities in life. And always the command is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto us. So we pray, our gracious God, that we would indeed remember that there is nothing that is more important, nothing that is more urgent, nothing that is of more momentous implication than our relationship to God, that this is the great issue indeed, and that as we read the gospel, we are reminded that Christ came into this world and to die the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us back to God. And so as we think of these things again this morning, O Lord, help us to appreciate the work of Christ that is fully accomplished in the life that he lived, the death that he died, the resurrection that he accomplished, the life that he now lives, and the glorious appearing, the consummation of all his work, all his desires, and all our hopes. And we pray that as we think of the gospel in these terms, that we would be raised up indeed into those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So often we live as though we belong to the world, and as though the world indeed belonged to us. And we pray that we would live in the high places, the mountain tops, as it were, the assurance of salvation, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, the hope of glory, which is our motivation, and always looking to follow the example of Christ in his dealings with sinners and with saints alike, the way he received sinners and ate with them, and the way in which he encouraged his people by continually reminding them of good things, not simply giving platitudes and exhortations to cheer up, but as it were giving us good reasons. He has reminded us that in the world we will have tribulation, but to be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. And so always we find him giving solid foundational realities as to why it is that we should hope and hope more and live better and love him more dearly. So, our gracious God, we pray that in these days we would not be distracted by closures, by difficulties, by the threats of war even, and all the uncertainties that seem to be suddenly coming upon us. And as we read the scriptures, we find that there is nothing new in these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself made it very clear that before he came again, and all through the time of our waiting for his coming, that there would be wars and rumours of wars, earthquakes and floods and famines, difficulties, betrayal in the church, declensions, false teaching, false Christs, and all the things that so trouble our poor world and trouble our weak hearts. And all these things are around us, and we pray that we would not be taken by surprise, as though some strange thing were happening to us. This is normality for the world. Wars and rumours of wars, death on every hand, betrayal, corruptions, power in high places abused. We see it day by day, even in this land of Australia. And so we pray that we would read the scriptures and understand the times in which we live, recognizing the signs of the times, and that these are the times of the world's going the world's way, ignoring the gospel, seeking to silence the gospel, seeking to persecute the saints with threats and with legal actions, and all these things that afflict the just, O God. They have always troubled God's people. They trouble us today. And so we pray that we would not be overmuch troubled, but rather be consoled in the greatest of all realities. God is on the side of those who are on God's side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can condemn when God justifies? It is Christ that died and who is risen again, who also makes intercession for us, who is coming again in his glory with all his saints and with all his angels, and will be seen to be the mighty Saviour and the great friend of sinners. And so as we gather here, Lord, help us to remember that these are the issues of the gospel. We are so taken up with other issues. We are so easily sidetracked. We so readily follow false doctrine. We so readily invent new religions, masquerading as gospel Christianity. And we pray that every day that we rise, we would spend the day looking unto Jesus. And as we come to the end of each day, we would kneel in gratitude to God for the goodness of the Lord in the day that he has made for us. And so this morning we pray that together we would affirm our faith, be reinforced, be re-encouraged, and be re-motivated and directed into God's ways. We always remember, Lord, to pray for our families, and we pray for them now that you'd bless them, the ones we love, the ones with whom we have special relationships and for whom we have special responsibilities, and we pray for them. We fear for some of them. We rejoice in the assurance that some of them are indeed redeemed, and we are glad, O God. But others we fear, and we pray for them now that they too would be saved, for our neighbours, for our enemies, for our rulers over us, for those who preach the gospel, we pray, for those who support the church, we pray, for those who are a discouragement to the church, we pray, for them also. And so, our Heavenly Father, we are glad again to read the word, to sing the word, and to praise thy great and holy name. This is our prayer, O God, as we come now in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to read in the letter to the Hebrews and in chapter 12. The 12th chapter in Hebrews, and we shall read the whole of this chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto Mount Zion, that might be touched, and that burned with fire, and unto blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And so on. Now, the notices are very brief and are the following. The afternoon service at 4:30 is also a recorded service, and we invite you to tune in to that message, that worship service. And, of course, our Wednesday meeting, 7 o'clock, the same, it will be recorded. And next Lord's Day, we expect the same again. Always we are glad to welcome visitors and regulars. And as we gather together, we are together. And the Spirit of the Lord is with us, and the Lord has promised to be where two or three are gathered. And there is a great mystery in the relationship between God and his people, Christ in us and we in him. But if we take the scripture at face value, there is a real union between Christ and his people. And we and he belong in a very real sense together. And even in these services, that this is this unity which cannot be broken. And so we should rejoice that even although things seem to be bad and gloomy, they are not as bad as all that. God has made it possible through scientific research and application to make it possible for us to listen through electronic means to the Word of God. The Word of God is not bound in these days. We remind you of the offering also as you are disposed to contribute. Well, we continue then to sing to God's glory in Psalm 84, and we're continuing from verse 7 to the end of the psalm. Psalm 84 at verse 7. So they from strength unwearied go still forward unto strength, until in Zion they appear before the Lord at length. Psalm 84, 7 to the end of the psalm.